Blog Talk Radio.
No matter the half of it, I don't know if the end of this, but I'm in for the fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup. Yeah. We got next, we got next, yeah. These words stick into the air. No matter the half of it, I don't know if the end of this, but I'm in for the fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup. Yeah. We got next, we got next, yeah.
I can see it now. I can see it now. Push it all around. Blush it all around. Make that I see the faces of our enemies bowing down. We rolling their cities, living down. The fool show down with the pride of a town. Crying over humanity, older humanity. Their minds full of profanity when they witness the calamity. Their real life of possessing of their possessions with vanity. And the destruction of their perception is vanity. Yashar Allah, we shall reign for eternity. I know, this is what they hate to see. They say, waiting patiently, faithfully. Knowing we coming to the end of 400 years of captivity. From Baldwin to the rich man, that's his hand. At the top of these great buildings, with Trojans scattering the children. Now so children calling me to your evil villains. And there shall be no remorse for your precious villains. These words stick into the air, no matter the air for bear. I don't know that the end draws near, so I'm able to fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup, yup. We got next, we got next, yeah.
These words stick into the air, no matter the air for bear. I don't know that the end draws near, so I'm able to fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup, yup. We got next, we got next, yeah.
Enter the plate like Ken Griffey, Evo with the fist. Grand slam to the abyss. Once we swing the golden fist of the North Star. You live in sins where you depart. Raise the bar, seek the spirit of wisdom. She travels far beyond the cosmos. Where the ancient of days dwells. The hell was slinging in the streets, eating off drug sales. My CIA cartel, moving tons of sorcery. Trick the masses to worship Lucy for the daily grocery. We beat them 12 tribes, shining like diamonds, rubies, and amethyst opponents. Or the false Christ, condolence to the pro-life who slay every corner. Diallo, Sean Bell, and Malice Green. It ain't a thing, we trashing your army, navy, and submarine. Fight your team, cleansed by the blood of Judah, the risen lamb. We chopped and set the heads off the beast and gunning for Uncle Sam. For the camp you ran, Bethel deflated, confiscated our land. But
we got next,
evacuated.
No matter if they have a bear, I don't know that the end draws near, so I'm in for the fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup, yup. We got next, we got next, yeah.
These words speak into the air. No matter if they have a bear, I don't know that the end draws near, so I'm in for the fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next, yup, yup. We got next, we got next, yeah.
Gang, gang, spit. You ain't gang, gang, jit. When the two Hebrews get on that mat, they gon' take this shit. It's been about 400 years. When you shed so many tears, you need NYMG, this ain't no game, bang it. Let me see your black fist. Tell em, we won't slip. Tell em, united we stand.
Tell em,
divided we slip.
Tell em,
keep your grip. Don't let me go, cause we got next. It'll save your soul. You better love your neighbor, like you love yourself and that's a start. You better love your God, with all your mind and all your heart. I lift my voice up like a trumpet for your consumption. Say heed these words, it's real, no bluffing. Then it gets the cussing, making threats, fighting, fussing. Then it gets the bussing, everybody running, jumping, ducking. All I gotta say is live righteous to work your labor. Then cash your check,
yo check.
And we get next, let's get that wager.
These words stick into the air, no matter if they have to bear. I don't know that the end draws near, so I'm in for the fight against my fear.
We got next, yeah. We got next,
yup, yup.
We got next,
we got next, yeah. These words stick into the air, no matter if they have a bear. Let them know that the air drops near, tell them in for the fight against my fear.
We got next,
yeah.
We got next,
yeah.
We got next, we got next,
yeah.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yasha Allah. Baba Kwa Tuwa. Let's see. I hope everybody can hear me loud and clear. Let me see. This is. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Baba Kwa Tuwa. Which means good morning in Hebrew, man, in the Paleo or the ancient Hebrew. And welcome to the show, man. I'm your brother, Pastor Pa. And thanks for tuning in, man, on this Tuesday morning. I hope everybody had a great, prosperous, fulfilling or boring weekend. And I say boring, man, because the people might laugh, but boring is good, man. Boring means that nobody's in trouble, ain't no drama going on, man. So boring is not always a bad thing. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. The water to Mashaba for hooking the broadcast up, and the water to y'all, man, for y'all support, for y'all continuing to tune in and support the show. And just want to tell y'all to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pod Tuesday, Taza Pod Tuesday, Taza Pod Tuesday, happening every Tuesday. So, man, y'all get to, you know, get the chatter going, get the word by mouth going, and have more people to tune in to the show so we can get more ears, man, and wake up more of Yasha Allah, the lost, the so-called supposed lost children of Israel, man. Time for us to wake up so we can get the hell on, man. Get the hell up out of here. Want to send shouts out to the brothers here in San Antonio, Texas, on the mark moving. If you need a move done, please contact the brothers. The website is onthemarkmoving.com. Check those brothers out. As well as the brothers are still here in the mall doing Eastern fragrances. Only one mall they have now, Rolling Oaks Mall. Check the brothers out. You can get your customized fragrances. Also, the brothers down in H-Town, man, they're doing the same thing by way of Sweet Ambience, man. And that is the official website for all your natural fragrances. You can there too create your own fragrance, customize your own fragrance. They also have a subscribership to where you can get your own fragrances mailed to you. They have a monthly subscription. Check those brothers out. They also have the fringed up. Man, they're making some bad garments, man. T-shirts, bracelets, they got your head apparel, the whole nine, man. So check those brothers out. Want to send shout out to them. Shout out to the brothers in VA who are doing the same thing, all under the same umbrella, y'all. So the water to y'all for y'all support. And if you want to continue to support, I gave you all the avenues in which you can do so. But let me go ahead and get into the show. And I've got a show, man. My topic is going to pretty much take up most of the show. I'm doing it a little different today because this topic is so extensive, y'all, and I want to really get into it. And an hour is not really going to do it justice. So I am going to do a little bit of the news, but not much. But let me go ahead and get into it like I always do. Let's get Psalms chapter 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good or bad, happy or sad, man. All praise due to the Most High, Yahweh Shai, for bringing you through it, for bringing you to it. In a storm, out of the storm, or just got over a storm, man. Whatever the situation is, man, the water to the Most High, man, because it's definitely going to make you better. You're going to come out better on the other side with more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you've applied, that you can help other brothers and sisters go through what they need to go through. This supposed Memorial Day weekend, man. No, I apologize, man. I'm a little ill prepared today. I had a really early morning, y'all, and a late night. Try to get my son prepared, man. He's traveling down to Atlanta to visit his father. My stepson, of course, y'all I'm talking about. But yeah, man, early morning flight. He actually ended up missing the damn flight anyway, but that's a long story. Excuse me, y'all. I apologize. I'm sorry. But yeah. So let me slow my mind down, man, because I definitely want to come across clear. And let me plug up, too. So, hold on for a second, y'all. I'm going to use two devices today as far as sound, y'all. So I still got the podcast mic, and I'm still figuring that out. But anyway, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to use the my earbuds. And I may have to plug up, too, man, because my phone is kind of low. But, yeah, man, Memorial Day, supposed Memorial Day, which is to commemorate this nation's dead, the fought for this country, yada, yada, so on and so forth. Esau, first of all, y'all, is not original. Excuse me. You can look all throughout the Bible and you can see where the Most High talks about a memorial and talks about us remembering things, us coming out of Egypt. And the story of Egypt within itself is a memorial, man, something to be remembered, because it's basically what memorial is about. But they got that from us, man. Even here in this country, and I forgot, I should have pulled it up, but the actual Memorial Day was started by us, man, us remembering here in this country that was slain for this country, and we wanted to do something for our ancestors, man, and we actually came up with the idea for Memorial Day. And don't take my word for it, man. Just do a little bit of research, and you'll see it. It'll come up, man. And then you get better understanding on what I'm talking about. But I wanted to share this. This is Ecclesiasticus chapter 44 and verse 1. And it reads, it says, "Let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begot us." So the famous men that it's talking about all our forefathers that came before us, our ancestors that came before us, man. It says that they're worthy of praise. They're worthy of remembrance. It says, "The Lord hath wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning." So going all the way back, man, all of our trials and our triumphant victories, the glorying of the Most High, like it tells you in, let me see, I got to get that one. Let's get Romans 9, because it even talks about it. But all throughout the Bible, man, I just talked about Egypt, and that was just one of our victories, man. But you can read the story of Esther, and you can get another instance of our recorded victories. You can read the story of the Maccabees, those bad brothers, man, who saved the nation from annihilation, from extinction, as well as Esther, man. The sacrifice that she made, man, almost dying, putting herself in harm's way to save her nation is commendable. And it should be recognized and remembered, y'all. So you want to talk about Memorial, because we know we don't celebrate any of these holidays. But we celebrate the Most High's high holy days and all of our victories and battles that we've had over the years, man. Let me get that. So this is Romans. Romans chapter 9, y'all. And what is the verse I'm looking for? Yeah, here it is. Let me pull this back up. I'm going to just start at the beginning. I'm start at verse 3. Let me start at 1. This is Paul speaking. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. But I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You see, so kinsmanship, nationality actually means something in the Bible. Contrary to popular misunderstanding, because you'll have some people try to say that and use Paul's scriptures against them and say that Paul talked about not boasting yourself in your nationality, how your nationality does not matter. Because they'll cite the verses where he talks about not getting caught up in genealogy, not understanding the Bible once again. But if Paul was never getting caught up in genealogy, then what the hell is Paul talking about here in Romans chapter 9? Genealogy. When he says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh," that's talking about genealogy. That's talking about nationality. So, like I said, man, people have a real serious misunderstanding of the Bible. And then, too, they'll pick and choose and try to be slick about it and avoid this chapter altogether. But let me read on verse 4. It says, let me start at verse 3. It says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites." So, does genealogy matter according to Paul? Yes, it does. It says, "Who are Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption and the glory." And this is why I came to this verse, man, because our history is a glorious history. You read about the many battles, man, going all the way back to the battles of Canaan, man. And I'm talking about Joshua's conquest. Because that's actually what it was. It was a conquest to overthrow and to kill and subdue those nations that were already there, those Hamite nations, and to take over what was already established that the Most High had set up for us. So that conquest, even after Joshua, when Caleb took over, he continued that conquest. And even during the time of David, and you remember David's many battles with the Philistines, that was still part of the conquest that the Most High has sent us out to fulfill from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Let me get that. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hivites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenants with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy sons. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So these were the orders that the Most High, it was the Most High by way of Moses, gave us in the book of Deuteronomy, which means the words. And you read in verse 1, it says, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel. So this is basically Moses' farewell instruction letter that he gave to the children of Israel before he passed, giving us instructions on how to conquer and take the land which the Most High had swore to our forefathers. And this is what Paul was talking about, Romans chapter 9, going back, verse 4. It says, who are Israelites to whom pertained the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. So all the promises were the promised land that he promised to who? Our forefather Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That only pertained to the Israelites, and that's our heritage, y'all. That's our memorial, if you will. Those are the things that we're supposed to be remembering and meditating on, as well as the law, statutes, and commandments. We're supposed to be remembering all those triumphant battles, all those things that the Most High had done for us and brought us through. I just wanted to get that, y'all. Share that. Now, let me jump into this. Matter of fact, before I get that, let me see. Yeah, this is from CNN, and this is the president of these United States, man. It says, Biden to announce new steps to close racial wealth gap while making the 100th anniversary of Tulsa Race Massacre. Close the... This man, come on. Close the wealth gap. Yeah, right. President Joe Biden will visit Tulsa, Oklahoma on Tuesday to make the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre and announce new actions his administration will take to reduce the racial wealth gap as he commemorates one of the worst acts of racial violence in the U.S. history. Man, Esau is really something else. And this is all I've been hearing, man, for the past week or so. And then I seen that that clip Brothers had showed it on. We got a little group we going where we conversate. Brothers posted it on there, and the brother Bakar Gabar, he shot it to me too. I had already seen it, but he shot it to me. But this is what's been going on, man. Everybody's been engaged in watching the Oklahoma massacre anniversary, and they had this sister. I think the sister said she was 107, testifying before Congress on the events of that day. And I watched it, and it was moving. It was very sad. But the reason I say Esau is something else, man, because they really don't care, man. They'll put up this charade and really act like they care and that they're sensitive. And I had this conversation with the brother Bakar, man. You got a lot of our people letting the wool being pulled over their eyes. And I say this because of this, you know, this Tulsa anniversary stuff and how it's being acknowledged. Also, and y'all probably remember this, if you don't refresh your memory, but probably like a year or two ago, even if it was that far back, remember all the Confederate statues and stuff that were being pulled down? And even now, they've removed, and I was just tripping off of it last week when I seen Heidi, my daughter, she was cooking. I think she was making them pancakes. And, yeah, they weren't very good, but she's trying, y'all. But she was making the pancakes. And I looked, because LaBia came down. She made a remark about, oh, I forgot that they removed her off the box. And she's talking about Aunt Jemima. And I looked at the box, and I'm like, damn, I forgot about all that. and it looked weird. You're used to seeing, you know, Aunt Mama on the box of pancakes. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, so I guess they removed Mrs. Butterworth too, right, off the cert bottle. And then Uncle Ben's, I ain't seen that, but maybe y'all have. But anyway, my point in bringing this up is a lot of our people will be happy about that. But don't y'all realize what they're doing? They're erasing history. They're erasing history because if you can't prove it, then it didn't happen. Then it didn't exist. And that is something that the so-called white man is famous for doing, man. He'll erase things and discount things and pretend that these things didn't happen, and he'll get rid of the evidence. Even with what's going on with this anniversary in Tulsa, they, and I just read another article talking about how they got to go to the site of, I think it was Greenwood, and dig up and start digging and trying to find bodies to get evidence. What do you need to find the bodies for? History is the evidence, but y'all trying to whitewash the history and pretend that it never happened. Because even the insurance companies, and I heard this on NPR, the insurance companies wouldn't pay out. They wouldn't pay out to the surviving victims of the Tulsa massacre. I'm sure y'all got that on record. So why y'all got to go and try to dig up some bodies? Come on, man. Y'all just trying to make a show out of it like you really care. And like I said, our people, you know, they being brainwashed, think, okay, they pulling down these statues, these Confederate statues and these Confederate flags. That's a good thing. They're doing away with racism. No, they need to keep it up because they're rewriting history just like they do in these textbooks that they handed to our kids. To where now you ain't gonna be able to even remember slavery, the slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade. It is not gonna even exist in the book anymore. So how can you prove that it exists? Which goes along with the other agenda that they ushered in, along with the gay agenda, the letter people's agenda, which is, I don't know if y'all noticed this, but almost every commercial you see now has got interracial couples in it. There's a reason for that. They're trying to whitewash everybody so everybody can think what? That all people are one. That all people are the same. That, like they say, the common phrase they're using now, well, people are people. And then they're, by them erasing history, you don't even be able to do the research to find out now that people ain't people. That there's a difference between people. Because you remember, when people were people, that's in the book of Genesis chapter 11 at the Tower of Babel. Remember that? What the Most High said, behold, the people are one. They're trying to get everybody sold on this for a reason, y'all, especially us. When the scripture talks about in Psalms 83, when it talks about they're going to make the memory of Israel cease from among men, that's what it's talking about. Part of it anyway, and I'm going to get to that chapter later on in my class. But I want us to just be aware of that, man. Don't be happy because you see them taking down their black eye, because that's what it is. It's a black eye. It's a stain on their country. You know, and this is why the George Floyd video was so potent. It was broadcast all over the world, and they watched this man being put to death. And people actually had remorse, actually felt it. People were looking at America for the killers that they are, man, for the murderers that they are. This is what King understood, as misled as he was. But he understood that America don't want their dirty laundry aired. America don't want everybody to see what murderers, what rapists, what thieves they really are. This is why he had people marching and getting dogs sicked on them and getting beat down with police. He understood that the world was not going to care about the so-called black man, Hispanic man's plight here in America unless it was a face to it. So he made those people the poster child for the civil rights era, ignorantly, I might add. But that's why I believe he did it. Because like the old saying go, a picture is worth a thousand words, man. Let me jump back to this article, man. Actually, no, I don't even really need to. I guess, okay, just for details. It says President Joe Biden will visit Tulsa, Oklahoma on Tuesday to mark the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa Race Massacre and announce new actions his administration will take to reduce the racial wealth gap as he commemorates one of the worst acts of racial violence in U.S. history. It's one, because there's been many. When are they going to acknowledge the 100 billion Native Americans that was massacred in their Manifest Destiny campaign? When are they going to talk about that? Because you named the Washington Redskins the Washington football team. Everybody's going to forget about that now? Come on, man. This is the president will deliver remarks to memorialize the hundreds of black Americans who were killed by a white mob that had attacked their neighborhoods and burned dozens of city blocks to the ground. He will meet with surviving members of the community, tour the Greenwood Cultural Center, and outline his administration's efforts to combat racial inequality in the nation. Yeah, sure. Not going to happen, y'all. Don't hold your breath on that. But all niggas gonna get is a stimulus check. Anyway, man. I don't know if y'all heard about, let me see if I can find it. I'll just play this one for y'all. Here we go. Let me put this on speaker too. I hope they don't show no commercials. They probably will, though.
On the next United States.
We're talking about the browning of America.
What does that really mean?
For white people to
be
majority.
Yeah, they showing a commercial.
They need to assume all people of color are the same.
United States of America with W. Kamau Bell, Sunday, following the story of late night.
United Shades. Yeah.
A lot is still out there, a lot of question marks, but what we do have is brand new video that the police released publicly to ask the public's help in identifying these people and this car. If we can show that, this happens very quickly, but you see three individuals getting out of a white Nissan Pathfinder. They exit the vehicle. That's when police say they fired shots at a crowd standing outside of this establishment, this lounge that was hosting a private concert. And really, from the video, we're seeing within seconds, they are getting back into that car and fleeing the scene. Police explained that when they shot at people standing outside that venue, the people there shot back at them. And so that's why perhaps we were seeing so many markings on the ground yesterday for shell casings outside of that business. In talking about the people who were shot, police say there were 23 in total. Two people were killed. Three of the injured remain in critical condition right now. Three others who were injured have already been released from the hospitals, and one of those who was released is only 17 years old, so a lot of young people here. Here is the police talking about speaking with the family members now grieving and dealing with the fallout of this incident.
The mother that yesterday fell down and broke down in front of me that I could hardly hold her up, and we had to get a group of people to hold her up when we have to tell her that her child is dead. This violence is just senseless, okay? For you guys that are out there, if you're watching this and you're responsible for this, look at those victims that you don't take into account. Those victims are hurting. They're destroyed. Their lives are turned upside down this morning. It's despicable.
I spoke with family members of one of the two people who were killed yesterday. They shared with me this photo, if we can show it, of their loved one. They tell me this is Clayton Diller III in his 20s, killed outside of that club. Right now, there's still very limited information about why this happened, but police did tell us today that this is the result of an ongoing rivalry between two groups. And police do say that they believe the intended target was standing outside of the lounge at the time, but it's unclear exactly who the intended target was at this point, since there were a number of people standing outside, and of course, so many people affected by this, so many families affected by this right now, Erica.
Absolutely. Natasha Tam with the latest for us. Natasha, thank you. Nearly two dozen families affected now, as we know. And I just want to play really quickly again a video that Natasha just shared with us, which was just released. If you count, it is not even 10 seconds from the time you look at that timestamp at the top there. They're leaving at 10:05:30, essentially, and they are back in this car less than 10 seconds. That, too, really, it just says a lot, as, again, as that manhunt continues, and two people dead, more than 20 wounded.
So, y'all, that's from, let me stop it.
It's a simple fact, nothing more
That's from Miami-Dade, man. If you didn't hear about it, they labeled it as a mass shooting when the story first broke. I'm watching this video, then like she said, it's a rivalry going on. It's some nigga shit, y'all. I gotta be honest about it, man. It's some nigga shit. And you know, I ain't trying to make light of it. My condolences goes out to the family members who lost victims there. But man, we gotta stop killing each other, man. Goodness, y'all. Ain't y'all tired of going to funerals? Ain't y'all just tired of violence in general? I guess not, man, because you keep hearing about us killing us. Sad, man. Anyway, let me dive into it. I'm switching over now, y'all. Told y'all we're going to do a lot of news today. So I'm switching over to the class. Let me get situated here. I got a lot of information to get to. And I don't have a lot of room right now. I need to get some stuff out of the way. So getting to the class, it says religion is it for you, man. Look into Judaism. This is part, I don't know what part it is, but as far as the look into Judaism, this is part two, y'all. So just bear with me. Let me get rid of this right here and that right there. All right, cool. All right, y'all. So last class, I was going over how the nations have always known about the Most High, man. They've always known about the Most High. They've always known about our laws, statutes, and commandments. They've always known that we were different, man. And I dug into a little bit of the 13 tribes the last class. I'm definitely going to dig more into the book this segment. But what I want to do is let's go into Israel inheritance, y'all. So let's go to Psalms 105. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Psalms chapter 105 and verse 1. I give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek the face. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Now, this is the part I want to get to. Listen up. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant. Ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord, our God, or our power. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever. So the word covenant means contract. So it says he has remembered his contract or his covenant that he made with our forefathers and extended it to us, our forefathers being Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, the actual man whose name was changed to Israel, who had 12 sons, and his 12 sons make up the nation of Israel. We're the descendants of that lineage. It says, he had remembered his covenant forever, the word which he had commanded to 1,000 generations. And because, and I got to bring this also because a lot of people will be under the misconception that since Israel broke the covenant, that the Most High had cut Israel off and he wasn't dealing with Israel anymore. But that's contrary to what we're reading here in Psalms. It says he had remembered his covenant forever. So how long is the covenant? It's forever. And look at the definition for forever up. It's an indefinite amount of time. So the covenant that the Most High made with the children of Israel is never ending. It says he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Man, sit back and actually do the math on 1,000 generations. You're going to be, man, this is going to take you a lifetime to do the math on that. 1,000 generations. Verse 9. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. You know, I have to stress that out and emphasize that so everybody can hear that clearly. And confirm the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, which means the covenant that the Most High, the contract that the Most High God of the Bible made with the children of Israel was going to last forever. It was never going to end. So I don't know where people get the nonsense from that the Most High cut us off or he wasn't dealing with us. He said he's going to deal with us forever. Verse 11, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And that's what I wanted to get to. So the land of Canaan was our inheritance. And I read it earlier when I was doing the news, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1. Those other nations were there, but they got removed. And the Most High, he would name the land after the people, contrary to what the world does. They, instead of naming the land after the people, they'll name the people after the land that they in, which is contrary. Because remember, the land of Canaan became the land of Israel once we, the Israelites, got there and dwelt there. Right? My point in going to the scripture is bringing out that the land of Canaan or the land of Israel is in fact our inheritance. Okay? It's our inheritance. It's our heritage. Okay? So let's get Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, it didn't say that that land was the world's inheritance. It said that that inheritance was only for the Israelites. That land was only for the Israelites. So going to Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them, which means what? That that land is still supposed to be inherited by who? By the children of Israel. Because remember, this was part of the covenant that the Most High said was forever with the children of Israel. Right? Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. Because you might be saying, well, yeah, it was supposed to be forever, but the children of Israel, or maybe you're under the impression that the children of Israel are in the land right now, this current day, but they're not. Now I'm going to prove that in the rest of this class. So let's read Leviticus 26, and we're going to start at verse 13 to find out what actually happened. It says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of yoke of your yoke and made you go upright. So this verse 13, I want to jump down to verse 32 and I'll read this whole chapter. It says, and I will bring the land into desolation. So the Most High said he was going to bring the land into desolation. Matter of fact, let me jump up a little bit. Let me read verse 13 again. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. So he's telling us what he did for us. And then I want to jump down. It says, verse 18, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. So the Most High said, if we didn't listen, we will be punished for our sins. Now let me jump down to verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation, meaning what? The land was going to be desert. It was going to be empty. We weren't going to be there. But that was part of our punishment for not listening to the Most High. It says, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. The Most High was constantly telling the children of Israel that they were not going to have any land, that he was going to take the land that he gave away from us, and that was going to be part of our punishment. Now, remember we read in Psalms that the land is our inheritance or our heritage, right? Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4 reads, and thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thy enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. So the Most High is telling us that we were going to be discontinued from our heritage. Our heritage is our land. He's telling us once again what? That we wasn't going to be there in our land. Now watch this, y'all. I want to go right now to this timeline. And this timeline is bad, y'all. I grabbed this off of Wikipedia. So it says the timeline of Jerusalem. Now listen to this. This is a timeline of major events in the history of Jerusalem, a city that had been fought over, a city that had been fought over 17 times in its history. You hear that? It says, 16 times in its history, During its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. So this is the long, extensive history of Jerusalem or Israel, man. We've been, let me read it again, have been fought over 16 times in history. During its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times. This is our homeland, y'all. This is what's happened, but the Most High predicted this. Remember? We just read it, right? That's why I went there first. Now, trip off of this in this timeline. So this goes all the way back, y'all, to, so it starts at 4500 BCE, right? Then it goes into the Bronze Age. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just give y'all some of these timeline notes. So the Iron Age. Then it has the Neo-Assyrian and Neo-Babylonian period, the Persian period, the Hellenistic period. And stay with me too, y'all. I'm trying to get to a point. The Hasmonean kingdom, it jumps into early Roman period. The late Roman period, Byzantine period. Early Muslim period, First Crusade, Kingdom of Jerusalem. And this is 1099 to 1187, all the way down to 1516, the Ottoman Turks. And that's where I wanted to get to. Now, let me hold this. I want to jump to this right here. Because I want to keep proving all of the facts, y'all. So now, you know, I'm in the history of Israel, Palestine before 1948. All right. And I'm going to pick up, matter of fact, that's where it starts anyway. It starts right where the timeline left off with the Ottoman Turks. I got to scroll way up. All right. So Ottoman Turks rule in Palestine begins. And it says, and it's got it listed here, 1517. All right, y'all? So 517, I want us to remember that date. It says Palestine was part of the Ottoman Empire through 1917, right? Goes, let me not jump the gun. So from there, y'all, let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Now, I'm not going to break down this whole chapter. It's not my purpose to do that, but I have to pull some important information from this chapter, y'all. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20, and we'll be jumping around quite a bit, too. So Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, hold on. All right. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. All right? So let's break this down so we can understand it. I'm going to read it again, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now, this angel that it's talking about is actually talking about Yahweh Shai, who the world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ. He's the angel in question. It says, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, this is in fact talking about Yahweh Shai, but it's talking about him having the keys. And what he did with these keys was he handed these keys over and I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. He handed these keys over to a brother by the name of Septimius Severus, y'all. Okay? Now, first, let's get the keys just to prove what I'm saying so y'all understand this. So let's get I want to start. Let's go to let's stay in Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read verse 18 because we got to prove that it is, in fact, talking about Yahweh Shai. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read verse 18. But before we do that, let's read Revelation 20 and 1 again. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So we're going to Revelation chapter 1 and read verse 18 to prove that it is, in fact, talking about Yahweh Shai, and he was the one that had these keys. Now watch this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And these words are in red because it's Christ speaking. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So here we find out that Yahweh Shai said he does have the keys. He has the keys of hell and of death. All right. I hope everybody's seeing that. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So who's holding keys, man? It's like your house I've got a key ring. Because we already found out that he's got the keys of heaven and the keys of hell. Now he's telling the apostle Peter that he was going to give him the keys to the kingdom. It says, I'm going to read it again. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we're finding out that back in Revelation chapter 1, I'm sorry, but chapter 20 and verse 1, when it talks about the angel having these keys, that it is in fact talking about Yahweh Shai having these keys. Let's get one more. Let's get Colossians 1 and 16. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. For by him were all things created. It's talking about Yahweh Shai. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So it's letting us know here clearly that Yahweh Shai, Jesus Christ, is in control of all of these things. He's in control of heaven. He's in control of earth. Everything that's visible, everything that's invisible, every power structure that's ever been set up, every dominion, every principality, which means spirits, or every power, all those things were created for him, by him, and for him. So he's in control of all of them. So he has the keys to everything. Now let's go back. Let's go back now and read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 with some understanding now. So Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So once again, this angel that has keys is Yahweh Shai. We've already proved Yahweh Shai has the keys to all things. All right? Now, I did make a statement, and I got to prove it. It says that having keys to the bottomless pit. So Yahweh Shai hands over keys or control Septimius Severus and Septimius Severus, y'all, was the first black emperor of the Roman Empire, all right? And you can look this up. And he came into power around 193 A.D., all right? He came into power around 193 A.D., Septimius Severus, all right? Now, I said he was the first black emperor because that's what they'll have it come up when you, you know, do a search and you go online. He was actually born in a province, a Roman province down in Africa. But I said that he was the first black emperor of the Roman Empire, and that's what they'll tell you. But in all actuality, and I don't know if y'all knew this, it was actually two Roman empires. There was the ancient Roman Empire that was ran by the Edomites, the so-called white man. They were in control of the ancient Roman Empire. But there also was a holy Roman Empire. And that holy Roman Empire happened during what they refer to as the Dark Ages or the medieval time period, or the Middle Ages, or you might commonly hear referred to as the Byzantine era. The word Byzantine means contrary or backwards. And the reason it was called that is because instead of having white people in authority and power, you had so-called black people in control and power. They were running things. That's why they called that era Byzantine, once again, which means contrary or backwards. All right, now let's go to, because I got to prove this, because in verse 1, it said that, and it is definitely talking about Christ, we already proved he got the keys, but he handed over this power to Septimius Severus. Now watch this, let's go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, because we got to understand the way Yahweh Shai moves. I don't know why. I really don't know why she called me. She know I'm... Hold on for a second now. All right, y'all, I'm back. So let's go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, because we got to understand the way the Bible's written, the way that the Most High, Yahweh Shai, operates. So Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. But the prince, and this is Christ speaking, it says, matter of fact, I guess I got to start up. Yeah, let me just jump around. So Daniel chapter 10, let me start at verse 5. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. Now, this is definitely talking about Yahweh Shai. You get the same description in Revelations, the first chapter, starting at verse, 14 all the way to verse 15, gives the description of Christ according to John the Revelator and what he saw. But this is Daniel's vision. And Daniel said, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girt with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. So when it says body was like the beryl, meaning the garment that he had on, the word beryl means green. So the garment he had on was the color green, because it tells you in verse 5 that it was linen, right? In Revelation, it tells you that the garment came down to his foot. So it says, in his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, meaning red, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, as the voice of words, like the voice of a multitude. So this is letting you know, we use this commonly here in the truth to describe and give the color of Christ. Because it says his arms and his feet in color as the polished brass. Polished brass is finished brass. The way you finish brass is you burn it. You stick it in the furnace to burn the impurities out of it. And if you burn anything in the furnace, you burn white bread, what color is it going to turn? It's going to turn black. So let you know that Christ, the man, the actual man, was a man of color, all right? Now, that ain't my point I wanted to get to. I just want to give y'all that in the story. So by the time we get here, and I'm going to read it, verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So when Christ spoke these words, Daniel said he was trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy power, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So Daniel, he fasted and he prayed to the Most High. So this is Yahweh saying, man, I heard you the first day. But he's going to explain what the holdup was, what took him so long. Verse 13, prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So you hear what he's saying? He said the prince of Persia withstood. You might ask yourself, what the hell is Yahweh Shai? What is Christ talking about, the prince of Persia? He's not talking about physically, y'all. He's talking about spiritually. There was a spiritual war going on that was happening, that was transpiring. You had one kingdom coming in, you had the other kingdom going out. That's why it says, but the prince of the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. What prince of Persia were you talking about? He's talking about the Persian Mede Empire. What was going on? What was going on is Alexander the Great was being ushered in. Because the Greek came in right after the Persian and Mede Empire. This is how you know it was not talking about physical, it was spiritual. Now watch this. I'm going to read this verse again. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. He's talking about Micah Allah or the angel people, common folk refer to as Michael. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So all of this is transpiring or happening in the spiritual realm, but being manifest in the realm of men. I hope I didn't lose anybody with that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me start at verse 9 to continue to prove that there is things that transpire that happen in the spiritual realm, but they get manifest in the realm of men. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, let me start at verse 8. Now let me get straight to the point. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God who created all things through Yahawashi, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of the Most High. So y'all hear that, man? He says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers. So you say, well, Tyler's power, what's principality? What's that? Check this out. So let's go to the Zona Van now, y'all. And we're going to go to page, where are we going? Page 475. So we're going to the Zona Van Compact Bible Dictionary and look up the word principalities. And it's on page 475. And it reads, principalities, it says, order of powerful angels and demons. So what realm does Christ control and be in? He be in the realm of powerful angels and demons. That's the spiritual realm, y'all. That's what it means when it says principalities. Now let's go to Maccabees, the water for that. Let's go to Maccabees, 2 Maccabees chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 4. Second Maccabees chapter 5. Now let's start at verse 1. It says, about the same time, Antiochus prepared his second voyage into Egypt. So he's talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. He was going down into Egypt, and he wasn't going on a peaceful note. It says his second voyage, he was going down there to fight, to take over Egypt. Who I believe it was, what, Sir Lucius, who got the realm of Egypt after Alexander's kingdom was split up. And they had beef, him and the Sir Lucius dynasty. Wait a minute, I think he was from the Sir Lucius dynasty. But he was going down there. He was going down there to, wow. He was going down there to battle, man, to go to war. It says, at about the same time, Antiochus prepared his second voyage into Egypt. And then it happened that through all the city for the space almost of 40 days there were seen horsemen running in the air in cloth of gold and armed with lances like a band of soldiers. So they seeing horsemen and soldiers just running through the air, man. Now listen to this. And troops of horsemen in array encountering and running one against another. So one against them, they were fighting. It says, with shaking of shields and multitude of pikes and drawing of swords and casting of darts and glittering of golden ornaments and hardness of all sorts. So they were going to war. Now watch this, verse 4. Wherefore every man prayed that aspiration might turn to good. He says that aspiration, now what's an aspiration? Here's the definition right here. Aspiration, supernatural appearance of a person, thing, especially a ghost. So what did they see for 40 days in the air fighting with troops and horsemen and shields and bucklers and swords drawn? They saw ghosts. They saw spirits fighting. Once again, that's the spiritual realm, y'all. That's what Christ is in control of and has the keys to, which he gave to Septimius Severus. Now let's go back. No different than it was given to Alexander the Great, or Alexander the Great, to come into power. The Most High had the segue. He had to prepare the spiritual realm for him to come into power before he actually came into power in the realm of men. So let's go back to Revelations now, chapter 20. And we're going to start at verse 1 again, read with some understanding. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. So this angel, once again, is Yahweh Shah. We already proved that he has the keys to all realms. But he gave this power over to, once again, Septimius Severus, who came into power around 193 A.D. of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, this bottomless pit that is referring to is referring to Europe, all right? To be more specific, is referring to what they commonly call Eurasia, all right? And we're going to prove that also. Let's jump down a bit. Verse 2. It says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bond him 1,000 years. So we find out here that Septimius Severus, he laid hold on a dragon. Now, for us just reading this with no understanding, we might actually think it's talking about a straight-up dragon, but the Bible uses a lot of allegory, right? Matter of fact, I guess we got to get that. There's a Hosea. Let me find it. It's Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10, and it reads, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions. And remember, Daniel had visions. This is how the Most High speaks. It says, I multiplied visions and used similitudes, meaning similarities, things that are not the actual things, but they're similar to the things. It says, by the mystery of the prophets. And this is how the Most High speaks to his prophets, is either through a vision, a dream, or he uses allegory like in Revelations. Because John the Revelator actually seen these things. He didn't get the breakdown or the understanding of these things. Daniel didn't get like we get the Daniel chapter 2 breakdown or the Daniel chapter 7 breakdown. Daniel didn't get no damn breakdown. He got just what you read in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, he saw the man with the armor on, and he seen just that, with the head of gold and the feet of clay. He got exactly that vision. No different than John the Revelator right now. He's getting a vision of the exact same thing, of a dragon, of a serpent. He's getting all of that. He ain't getting no breakdown. That's why Christ said, bless your eyes to see the things that you see, man, because we truly can see these things, and we get the breakdown. We get the understanding of these things. But the brothers who they were revealed to, they didn't get that. So we are blessed to know these things. That's why you read, and we just came from Daniel chapter 10. It tells you that Daniel was sick after he got these visions, man. He was sick and terrified. Hell yeah, you'd be too if you got those visions that he got without the understanding of it. But anyway, back to the point. This is how the Most High speaks. He deals in similitudes, allegory. Now let's read Revelation 20 and verse 2 again. It says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now we got to definitely break this down. So let's go to Revelation chapter 12 now. Revelation 12. And let's start at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Guess I got to get this too, because people read this and they just automatically assume that it's talking about up in the sky where the Most High Christ dwells. Let's get 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry, y'all. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Actually, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me start at verse 2. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. So this is Paul saying when he met Christ, he couldn't tell whether or not he was in his physical body or he was in his angelic body. It says, such a one caught up to the third heaven. So according to the Bible, there's three heavens, y'all. Three. The first heaven, you can find that in Genesis, the first chapter, is the ozone layer or the firmament. That's what the Bible calls it, which would be the sky. So that would be the first heaven. The second heaven would be rulership, power, and authority on the earth. The third heaven would be the third and the fourth dimension where the Most High and the angels dwell, where Yahweh Shai dwells. And we already got that through the scriptures we brought out talking about the principalities, right? But this heaven right here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, it's talking about on the earth. So it's talking about the second heaven. It's talking about having power, rulership, and authority on the earth. So Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. So that's verse 3, y'all, right? And listen to the description that it gave. I want y'all to remember that. We're going to come back to it anyway. We're going to jump down to verse 9, though. And the great dragon was cast out, just like it's talked about in Revelations. Hold that, y'all. We're going to go back to Revelations chapter 20. Revelations 20 and 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, Y'all see that? I hope y'all seeing it. Look. So back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. So this old serpent is the same old serpent in Revelations 20 and verse 2. But I'm going to keep reading just to prove it. So going back, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Now, it calls this dude, first of all, it says he's a dragon. Then it calls him the old serpent. So who do we know in the Bible that was referred to as the old serpent? So let's hold that, and let's jump to Genesis, the third chapter. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So this is the old serpent that is talking about right here. That old serpent that was in the garden. I hope everybody's seeing that. So going back to Revelations now, chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. What old serpent? That serpent from Genesis, the third chapter. They're one and the same. And this old serpent is the same serpent in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2. Now, we got to do this. Let's look up the definition for serpent. There's a lot to this, y'all. But stay with me. I hope it's making sense. I hope it's not too jumbled. I hope it's clear and everybody can see it. And there's a point. I'm definitely getting to a point. I'm not just going through all these scriptures for nothing or just bumping off, running my mouth. So the definition for serpent, and it reads snake. That's the first thing, right? Everybody's familiar with that. So definition number two, it says devil. Now, this is the one I really want people to marinate on. Definition number three, a treacherous person. A treacherous person. So what is a serpent? It's a snake or a treacherous person. And, you know, we use that saying loosely this day and age. If somebody do you wrong, if somebody that you can't trust, if somebody that deals with you not on the up and up, what do you say about that person? You say, what, man, that person is a snake because you can't trust that person. That person is treacherous. The other common saying we got, man, watch out for the snakes in the grass. Man, there be snakes in the grass. What does that mean? That means that you can't trust everybody. That's what that means. We use these terms so loosely, man, not even understanding that they in the Bible, and the Most High use this same slang, this same terminology. So we find out, according to, and I just went to Webster's, y'all, that a serpent is a snake. Then it says a treacherous person. All right? So that old serpent was an old treacherous person. Let's get the rest of the clues going back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. You see that? Called what? The devil. The word devil means deceiver. It says, and Satan. Satan means adversary. It says, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to read verse 2 again. Because we're connecting this once again with Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and verse 9. Specifically verse 9. So let's read Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Y'all see that, right? So it's talking about the exact same serpent, devil, dragon. All of it is one and the same. I hope everybody is seeing that. Now, let's hold Revelation 20, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13 now, and we're going to read verse 1. So Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, before I read any further, I want us, we're going to jump back and forth. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 3, and we're going to jump to Revelation 13, and we're going to read verse 1, because there's something I want everybody to see. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. This is Revelation 12 and 3. So a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. So y'all see that the dragon that's in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3 is the same beast that's in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. One and the same. So this dragon is in fact the beast, is in fact the devil and Satan. I'm going to read this again, Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So this dragon, this devil, this serpent is the same beast in Revelation chapter 13. In verse 1. Now let's jump to Revelation 13 and verse is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Right? Now we gonna hold this and we gonna jump to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Because it's still talking about the beast, Revelation 13, verse 18. But we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter, 3? Yep, 3 and 16, I believe it is. Let me make sure I got it right, y'all. 3 and 18. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. So can a man be a beast? Yes, according to the Bible, a man can be a beast. So in Revelation, the 13th chapter, where it talks about a beast, it's talking about who? It's talking about a man. Let me prove it. So Revelation chapter 13, and let's read verse, matter of fact, let's read verse 1 again, then we're going to jump to verse 18, Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy, Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. I'm going to let that marinate. So this beast, this red dragon, Satan, the serpent, the devil, is what? It's a man. It's a man. I'm going to read it again. Here's wisdom. So Revelation 13, verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. So that 666 that you see commonly in movies and such, that's the number of a man. This beast, this dragon, this serpent, the devil, Satan, all are one thing. But we find out in Revelation 13 and verse 18 that it's a man. It's not a actual animal or a serpent, a snake. It's not a spiritual entity, meaning the devil or Satan. Because we broke down, we defined those words. It's talking about an actual man. Now, remember, and I guess we got to go back there, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. So what color was this dragon? It said he was red. And it also called him who? Old serpent, right? That was in the garden. It also called him what? Devil, which means deceiver. And let me back up. That old serpent, and we got the definition for serpent, which means snake or a treacherous person, a person, right? So a person can be a snake. So that old treacherous person that was called the deceiver, that was called Satan or the adversary, what color was this dragon? Revelations 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. We've already established it's talking about a person, right, y'all? So what person on the face of the planet is the color red? Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 25. Let's start at verse. Yeah, let's read up a little bit. Verse 22. Genesis 25, verse 22. And the children struggled, talking about Rebecca and her pregnancy. It says, and the children struggled together. And Rebecca, once again, y'all, was Isaac's wife, remember? It says, verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. So she was having twins. She was having two babies at the same time. Those are twins. And we find out that these twins, these two babies, are going to be two different nations. And they're going to have totally different types of mannerisms. That's why it says in two manner of people. So they're going to be opposite from each other. All right, verse 24. Or did I finish? Let me read 23 again. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger, meaning the elder, the older child is going to serve the younger child, which is completely backwards, right? For us that have siblings that were younger than us, we understand that, you know, the oldest called the shot. But here you have the youngest calling the shots, okay? Verse 24, let's get to the point. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. Now, remember, we got all this from Revelations, right? Dragon, that red dragon that talked about which is who. He's also the old serpent or the treacherous person that was in the garden. He's also the deceiver, the devil. He's also Satan, the adversary. He's also that beast. But we found out in Revelation 13 and 18 that he's a man. And now we're reading about a red man being born in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 25. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they call his name Esau. The only red people that are on the face of the planet, when they cold, they're what color? Red. When they get angry, they're red. When they get drunk, they're red. When they're happy, they're red. When they're sad, they're red. When they come out of their mama's womb, they're a shade of red. Some might say they're pink, but pink is a derivative of red. You might call them pink toes. The only people that are on the face of the planet that are red is talking about who we loosely refer to as the so-called white man. But his biblical name is Esau. It says he came out red and he was hairy. So he was hairy all over. Red, hairy people. This only could be talking about one group of people. And y'all can go back and read the rest of this chapter. If you haven't had this breakdown, I'm sure you can find it. One of the brothers have done it. I'm sure we did it here on Blog Talk. If you're still curious about this topic, we can go into it more extensively. I can do a breakdown, or Mashaba can do a breakdown. But this is, in fact, talking about the so-called white man. But this is the red man that is also who? He's also that old serpent, the old treacherous person that was in the garden, the deceiver, devil, Satan, adversary, beast. He's all of that. But this is the God is talking about in Revelation, the 12th chapter, the 13th chapter. He's one and the same. It's talking about the so-called white man, y'all. Now, let's get, how much time I got? I got time. Let's get Genesis chapter 36 and verse 8 now. Because remember, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, it says that count the number of the beast. Let's count the number of the beast, for the number of him is the number of a man. And we already know that that same man was referred to as a red dragon. And that a dragon being a serpent being a snake being a what? A treacherous person. And we know that the Most High speaks in what? Similitudes or allegory, right? So let's go now to Genesis chapter 36, verse 8. It says, thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And we just read this, right? We just got this in Genesis chapter 25 about Esau being born. Now we're reading here in Genesis 36 chapter, verse 8. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. So Esau, like the prophecy said in Revelation, two nations were in her womb. The nation that Esau birthed was, in fact, the nation of the Edomite people. So this was a whole nation that came to fruition. All right, I hope everybody's seeing this. We got to have this understanding before we go back to Revelation chapter 20, verse 3 now. Go back there. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 3. In fact, let's read verse 2 again. It says that he laid hold on the dragon. So the he is talking about Septimius Severus coming into power around 193 A.D., the Holy Roman Empire, along with Constantine, who made the Bible, the law of the land. And Constantine was around 306, 307 A.D. And you can look this up in history. He made the Bible the law of the land. It says, which is, hold up. And he laid hold, Revelation 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, So who is the old serpent? We got it, right? That old treacherous person that was in the garden, which is the devil, meaning deceiver, and Satan, adversary. And he's also called what? Red dragon. And he's also called in Revelation 13, verse 18, a man. The only red man on the face of the globe is the so-called white man, who we know to be the Edomites. That's their biblical name. It says, and bound him 1,000 years. So it says that the so-called white man was going to be in chains or in prison for 1,000 years. All right, now, I told you once before, Septimius Severus came into power around 193 A.D., right? Under the Byzantine or the Byzantine Empire or the Holy Roman Empire. And that empire would last to the late 14, early 1500s, okay? And when you do the math, from 193 A.D. to 1453 is right at 1,000 years. Might be a little over, but it's still accurate with the Bible, y'all. Y'all can do the math. Now let's read verse 3, Revelation 20, verse 3. It says, and cast them into the bottomless pit. Once again, this is talking about Euro-Asia. I'm going to get into that. Probably not this segment because I ain't going to have time. It says, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deliver the nations. I'm sorry, that he should deceive the nations no more. 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. How much time I got? 10 minutes. All right. So let's get, let me see. Let's go here. So I'm going back to one of my articles, y'all. Come on, man. The history of Palestine, yep. All right, y'all. So I went here earlier. So, and this is the beginning of the timeline. This is where it starts, y'all. So 1517. Y'all see the year? 1517. And like Revelation said, 1,000 year period. From 193 AD to 1453, like I said, the late 1400s to early 1500s is roughly about 1,000 years. And here we see it on the, and let me read this headline again, prehistory. So this is the prehistory of Palestine before 1948. So in 1517, the Ottoman rule in Palestine began. When? In 1517, which goes hand in hand with what we just read out of the Bible. So in 1517, that 1,000 year time period was up. And that time period is also known as the Renaissance era or the Renaissance time period. The word Renaissance means rebirth. What was being reborn? The so-called white man was being reborn and reestablished as an empire under the Ottoman Turks, who were, yes, Edomites. They weren't Arabs. Don't let people tell you that lie, that madness. These were white boys, red people. So verse 3, it says, and cast him into the bottomless pit and set him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. So like the scripture says, the so-called white man was in prison, but where was he imprisoned at, y'all? Let's get Job chapter 30. So Let's get Job chapter 30. We're going to start at verse 1, is it? No, verse 5. Get straight to the point. Job chapter 30. And verse 5. They were driven forth from among men. They cried after them as a thief to dwell in the clefts of the valleys and caves of the earth and in rocks. Come on, y'all. What people could it be talking about? Now, I looked this up, too. I'm going to get this definition for y'all. What people were known to dwell in caves? What are they? They're not even commonly called this anymore. And I like to give Mama Dukes her props because this is what she refers to them as correctly. She calls them by their name. She calls them Caucasians. Caucasians. And this is the definition. It says Caucasian. Of or relating to the Caucasus or its inhabitants. And this is why they call themselves Caucasians, because they came from the Caucasus Mountains. It says of or relating to a group of people having European ancestry. And it's talking about Euro-Asia. It says classified according to physical traits such as light skin pigmentation. And formerly considered to constitute a race of humans. Yes, they also call themselves Caucasoids. There's another terminology is not really commonly used, but Triaglodytes, which means cave dwellers. So whether they be Spanish Caucasian or French Caucasian, Italian Caucasian, Czechoslovakia is the Caucasian. Kawistan, Caucasian, the Kardashians, they are Armenian Caucasians. These people know who they are. We the only dummies that don't. Now watch this. So I'm going to come back there. What I want to get? Let's go, yep, to the Britannica. Now, I want to read y'all this. This is from the Britannica Encyclopedia. Khazar, member of a confederation of Turkish-speaking tribes that in the late 6th century CE established a major commercial empire covering the southeastern section of modern European Russia. Like I said, man, also known as Euro-Asia. Let me read on. It says, although the origin of the term Khazar and the early history of the Khazar people are obscure. Yeah, right. It is fairly certain that the Khazars were originally located in northern Caucasus region. In the northern Caucasus region. Talking about the Caucasus Mountains. So the Khazars, Cajuns also, it says, come on, I hate when they do that. Be jumping around. Although the origins of the Khazars and the early history of the Khazar people are obscure, it is fairly certain that the Khazars were originally located in the northern Caucasus region and were part of the Western Turkish Empire. In Turkestan, the Khazars were in conflict with the Persians in the mid-6th century CE, and they aided the Byzantine Empire. Heraclius reigned 610 to 641 in his campaign against the Persians. So to let you know that the Khazars actually were in league once upon a time with the Byzantine Empire, It was us. It was black. The Byzantine Empire was black Israelites, y'all. It says, by the beginning of the 7th century, the Khazars had become independent of the Turkish Empire to the east. But by the middle of that century, the expanding empire of the Arabs had penetrated as far northward as the northern Caucasus. And from then on until the mid-8th century, the Khazars engaged in a series of wars with the Arabs. Because remember, around the 8th century was when the Arabs were all throughout Europe. And this is when they went into Spain and they went into Italy and made the bathhouses. And they helped with the infrastructure of those cities, because before they were overran with Edomites that was beastly, had all types of sewage and waste in the streets. But they cleaned that place up. And some of those supposed Arabs were actually Israelites, referred to as, I believe, they were called barbarians, which were black Arabs or Israelite Arabs who had converted to Islam. It says, engaged in a series of wars with the Arab Empire, the Arabs initially forced the Khazars to abandon their bent. But around 685, the Khazars counterattacked, penetrating southward of the Caucasus into present-day Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. The Khazars and Arabs fought each other directly in Armenia in the 720s, and through victories passed repeatedly from one side to the other. Arab counterattacks eventually compelled the Khazars to permanently withdraw north of the Caucasus. The Khazars' initial victories were important, though, since they had the effect of permanently blocking Arab expansion northward into Eastern Europe. Having been compelled to shift the center of their empire northward. Now, let me jump down, y'all. That's what I want to get to, just to prove what I just read. Man, I don't want to skip this. And that's the time marker just sounded, y'all. You know what? I ain't gonna even rush it. What I'm going to do is when I come back, I'm going to reread this. We going to keep this. We going back over this. And if I got a recap, I'll recap just so I don't lose nobody, because we went over a lot of information in a short amount of time. That's why I ain't do too much of the news, y'all. I shouldn't have did any of it. I should have just jumped into the class, because it's so extensive and so information packed with information, man. But when we come back, we going to jump back into the Encyclopedia Britannica, talking about the Khazars, showing that they were actually the original Caucasian people that came out of the Caucasus. And I got, like I said, miles and miles of evidence to prove that, man. But tune in next Tuesday, man. Next Tuesday. And I'm going to get the rest of this. And once again, man, I went into Revelations chapter 20. We're going to go back there too also. I wasn't trying to give a whole breakdown, because I know Kazakia is going to go and do a breakdown of Revelation chapter 20, and you'll get the breakdown in its entirety from him. But that wasn't my aim. I was just getting certain segments of it so I can match it up with history, so you can see that the Bible is a reliable source of information, and I ain't just pulling stuff out of the crack of my butt, man. And I want to also give a shout-out to all the elders, man. And I'm talking about the elders that came from One West. I don't care what y'all out there saying about those brothers. The Most High was really, really working with them to reveal all of this information. Because I got this has been passed down. I got this from my elder, Mashaba. He passed this information down to me. We got from the elders, man, out of One West. The Most High was working with those brothers, man. I want to say the water, and I want to, like the scripture say, praise famous men. I want to give them their praise, man. Give them their props for what the Most High revealed to them, and they passed it down to us, man. Rock to you, how about Shimmy Avshah? And with that, y'all, I'm signing off. I'll see y'all next Tuesday. The Waterford listening in. Shalom.